so that you may live long in the land, that it will be well with you. I had a pretty good upbringing. I didn't have a huge problem honoring my mom and dad, but I still had a lot of problems with it. And I'm going to share a few of my experiences a little bit later on, and some of the experiences I've had as a dad. But I want to share with you something that is kind of a bit of a shocking at times. Now, first of all, the word honor, when it says honor your father and your mother, the word honor means to put a lot of weight. In other words, put a lot of weight on who your mom and dad are. They've got a lot to say. Consider it weighty when they say something. Now, in the Bible, it gives us a few warnings about, for example, how we treat God, as well as how we treat people. And I want you to hear what God has to say about what happens, or what used to happen, when people didn't honor Him. And listen to this commandment. And we are lucky to live on this side of Jesus, and not on the other side of Jesus before Jesus came. Because if we lived on the other side of Jesus 2,000 years ago plus, this is the law we'd be living with. And just think of where you might be if this law applied to you and you lived more than 2,000 years ago. It's found in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 15. This is what the Lord said. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. And anyone who curses the name of the Lord must be put to death. Do you know that people used to be put to death by the people of God for anyone who cursed God? Do you know that as a pastor, can you imagine how many funerals I would be doing today if anybody who cursed God, used God's name in vain, was put to death? I'd be a busy pastor. So we're going, phew, am I ever glad I didn't live back then. But that lets you know how deeply God feels about the respect He deserves. Now, on this side, since Jesus came, who came to forgive us when we do those sort of things, at least we've been spared death. But Jesus took that death for us on the cross. But here's another area that God feels very deeply about. And this one might hit home a little bit. And in the same book, the same God, and just listen to this. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. Before Jesus came, any young person that cursed their father or their mother were put to death. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you would be dead right now because you cursed your mom or your dad? Just think, if we lived 2,000 plus years ago before Jesus came, how many of us might not be here today? That's how deeply God feels about giving respect. Now, I just got back from Africa, and I've been there a number of times. Just got back from Kenya and Ethiopia. And, so, Cheyenne, come in here. So, when someone would come up to me, this is in any part of Africa, basically. And if they say hello to me, and one look at me and they know I'm not 19. I don't know why, but they know. They see me as an older person. When they see an older person and they want to say hello, so if we come to say hello, well, let's pretend now Cheyenne's older than me. Okay, I'm 19. She's my age, 59. Okay, she's looking pretty good for 59. Okay, so if I were to say hello to her, and I don't know her at all, I see her and I want to say hello to her. Here's how I would say hello. Hi. And when they do this, that means they're putting a lot of weight on who you are. They respect you. And so wherever you go in Africa, when any person wants to say hello to you and you're older, they go like this. They show respect. I went to one of the airports in northern Ethiopia. We went from town to town looking at various sites. We came to this airport, and everywhere you go, you got to show your passport in Ethiopia. It's just four or five times. You get to the outside of the airport, there's all kinds of military. Where's your passport? Okay. You get to the airport, you can sit down. Thanks. Get a bit farther, where's your passport? Get to the edge of the building of the airport, where's your passport? So there's a soldier standing there, and he's a big dude. I mean, he's about 6'2". He's a big guy. Standing there guarding the door into the airport. Where's your passport? Okay. Showed him my passport. He's thumbing through it. Okay, gives it back. And I thanked him, and I reached out my hand to thank him for being courteous. I just wanted to show a sign of friendship. And so I reached out my hand to him, and immediately this big African soldier went like this and shook my hand. It didn't matter where he went. They have retained the desire to show respect for anyone older. I thought, wow, that is such a difference from where we come from, our culture today. And what a difference even from what I used to be. There are some things that I'm not proud of, but you know what? I'm thankful on this side of history, on this side of Jesus coming, and Jesus has forgiven me of the way I've treated my parents in the past and how I've treated people, and so I am free of guilt. I'm okay. God looks at me and says, Ark, you're okay because you're forgiven. You're in Jesus. You're okay. And so that's the beauty of being a Christian and living in the side. But I want to just very quickly talk about why we want to show respect for our parents, why it is so important, and why they deserve that kind of respect. I was reading someone who was who talked to a Secret Service agent, and I still remember when President Ronald Reagan of the U.S. was shot, and I remember when JF Kennedy was shot. I was old enough to remember all those things and watch them on TV when it all happened. And one of the servicemen for one of the U.S. presidents was asked, how do you feel about giving your life for, you know, let's say the president? If somebody stepped out and pulled out a gun to shoot the president, you as his bodyguard would jump in front of the president, you would offer your life to protect him. So one of the secret agents was asked, how do you feel about giving your life to someone you might not even like? I mean, just because he's a president doesn't mean you necessarily like his policies or who he is. And the Secret Service agent had a very interesting answer. He said, I am not protecting the person. I am protecting the position. When I stand in front of him, it's not because of who he is as a person. It's because who he is as a position. That's the president. What he believes, what kind of a guy he is, I don't know and I don't care. The only thing I care about, he's the president, and because of his position, I have to guard his life. I'm going, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. You respect his position. That, friends, is one of the reasons why we are to honor our mom and dad, because of their position. God has put them over you to mentor you and prepare you to become an adult. But it begins by someone having a position to be able to do that. And therefore, you call your parents mom and dad. I mean, as a little kid, you don't go up to your mom and say, hi, Mary, or to your dad, hi, Peter, how are you? It's hi, mom, hi, dad. You respect the position that they have. And so, if there is one thing that is true of anyone, you can respect your mom or your dad because of their position. Maybe they're not a good mom or a dad. Maybe you can't really respect what they believe or what they do to you. I recognize there are kids, you might be one of them. You say, I don't know if I can really respect my mom or my dad. We respect them because of their position. God has put them there over you for a reason. For that reason alone, by their position, you respect them. There's another reason why you respect them, and because of their... And you sometimes may wonder if this is really true. Common sense. They've had some life experience. And after a while, you'll go to one of your parents and say, what do you think? I need to make a decision. What do you think? And so we come to them because of common sense. Now, I shared this illustration church some time ago. Anybody here know who Bob Rae is? He is the leader of the Federal Liberal Party. Have you heard of Bob Rae? Nobody has heard of him. Okay. If you watch any TV, any politics, Bob Rae is now the leader of the Federal Liberal Party. He used to be the Ontario NDP Premier. When he was a younger guy, came out of Harvard University, came back to Ontario, headed up the Ontario NDP party, and became premier. He was this young, ideal, cocky guy straight out of Harvard University in the States, coming back to Ontario thinking, okay, I'm going to show you how to run a province. He did. He ran Ontario totally to the ground. Ontario was so deep in debt, it took years and years and years of a Conservative Party, then a Liberal Party, to undo what he did when he was leader of the provincial NDP Party. Now, he had lots of education, he had a lot of smarts, but guess what? He had no common sense. He made decisions that just did not make sense. He was just a young ideal, but he didn't have the street smarts how to run a province. One of the reasons we come to our mom and dad's for stuff is because they have street smart. They've been there. They know. One of the most common complaints I had for my kids, having raised four, is this: but Dad, you don't understand. Hello? Of course I do. Been there, done that. I understand very well. I can read through their mind. I know what's happening. I can see some of their motives. I've taught them. I've raised them. I know them very well. For them to look at me and say, you don't understand, well, first of all, I used to be a teen myself. I do understand. Secondly, as a parent, I saw everything was going on, and I understood. But my common sense said, uh-uh, you're not going there. You're not doing that. Because I know. Been there. I know what can happen. My boys were all football players. My youngest son just quit playing football at University of Alberta in Edmonton. But when they would want to go out after a football game in Medicine Hat, and I just moved from there a little over a year ago, I was in Medicine Hat for almost 19 years. And after a high school football game, and the guys would go out and party. And my son was known for his Christian stand. In fact, our oldest son was the first one who convinced our high school football coach in Medicine Hat before a game to go in the middle of the field, get down in a circle, get down on a knee, and pray. And the football coach would say, you've got to be kidding. I am going to go in front of everybody. We're going to go on a knee. We're going to pray and ask God for his help and his safety and all that kind of stuff. My son convinced him to do that. And so after that, year after year, all my sons were, last two sons were the quarterbacks for Hat High, Medicine Hat. And before every game, there's 50, 60 guys going out there, get big circle, get on a knee. Time to pray. Time to acknowledge God. Time to honor God. And so it's been a huge privilege to have kids that took a stand. So, when the game's over, the guys are tired and they want to go out and party a little bit or after a practice sometime. And especially my youngest son, who's still in university, would say, Dad, could I go and join the football guys? They're out at such and such. They're having a campfire. And well, I knew what's going on. I didn't fall over a rain cloud yesterday. I knew what was going on. And I said, do you think you can handle the temptation? He said, yes, Dad, I think I know I can. So, okay. But you know yourself. You're a Christian. You know what the stand is. And I expect you to live up to your conviction. Yes, Dad. Well, he might come home pretty late. But I trusted him. I knew where he stood. And one day he said to me, you know, Dad, he said, the guys in the team have said we won't even allow you to drink because we know what you stand for. We want you to give up what you believe for because we respect you for what you believe and what you stand for. And so they kept him accountable and said, when you come to our party, you come to have a good time, but you don't come to drink. And they knew it, he knew it, and I could trust him. And he knew his limits. And so I respected that. And so parents know that. Parents know if you can be trusted. And they know at what point they can give you latitude. They got common sense. And so we can really appreciate their street smart and their concern for you. But I want to share with you five marks of humanness that we get from our parents that really should make us honor them. Even if there's some things you don't like about them. Here is what we give them thanks and we honor them for. First of all, is language. How many of you speak a second language? Okay. What's a second language? What's your second language? Low German. Yes. Okay, it's an Indian dialect. Okay, yeah. French. Spanish. Okay. Russian. Okay. Your language helps define who you are. I get certain identity by my language. There are certain things, certain sayings we have that only make sense in our language. And I grew up speaking Low German. I didn't know English till I was 4. My wife didn't know English till she was 4. We both grew up speaking Low German. We got our identity from our background. Who are you? Well, okay, I'm from a certain German dialect. That's who I am. So that gave me a certain sense of identity. And I learned to speak that language to my grandparents, everyone else. Along with that language comes all kinds of things with that language. And I'm going to share that with you right now. Secondly is culture. You got your culture from your mom and dad. And for that you can honor them. Things like food. And by virtue of maybe your background, there are certain foods that are made. Because of certain our German background, there are certain foods we have on Christmas Eve, on Father's Day, for me, and on my birthday. There's a certain German dish I have to have, a certain kind of a pierogi. I just got to have it. With lots of cream gravy. It takes about 2 cows to milk to give me enough cream for all the cream I like on my pierogies. Okay? And it's done a certain way. Why? I grew up with that. That's part of my culture. That's part of who I am. That's why I can't lose weight. There are certain cultural foods I'm not willing to give up. And the doctor said, Art, you got to take care of your cholesterol. It's way too high. Excuse me? I'm not giving up cream. Okay? That's my culture. That's what I eat. That's what I got. Okay? And is there certain foods that come with it? Or maybe you come from a home where certain kind of sports. All my boys grew up playing baseball, hockey, and football. And they got their partial of their identity because that's what I played when I was younger. And so that's where their identity comes from. Oh, I'm good at certain sports. Or whether it's music. There's all kinds of things. Maybe certain activities like camping, fishing. A lot of stuff comes from your parents. You were raised with it. Our kids grew up fishing with me. I had a little 12-foot fishing boat. And back in the 80s, I used to pastor the church in Nanton. I used to go to Chain Lakes. And all our kids learned how to fish from a little 12-foot fishing boat on the Chain Lakes. And their activities came from me. I'm the one that gave them a love for fishing. I'm the one that gave them a love for sports. Our poor daughter felt really left out because the boys were so sports-minded. Then there was our daughter, awkward from day one. She was so awkward when she ran forward, she went backwards. She knew how proud I was of my boys and how good they were in sports. So when she was about grade 7, she decided, I'm going to join the girls' soccer league. Never played soccer. She was not into sports at all. And I'm going, oh man, I'm going to be embarrassed as a parent standing on the side just watching. What's she going to do when a ball comes to her? She rarely got to the ball. When she did, she had an awkward way of hitting it. And as soon as she kicked the ball, what do you think the first thing she did? She looked to the sidelines to see if Dad is watching. Everything she did because she wanted to please me. She wanted her dad to be as proud of her as I was proud of my boys, because I was very proud of my boys. Very musical, play lots of instruments, very sports-oriented. And so my daughter thought, the way to get Dad's attention is to try to be good in sports. Well, she tried it, and she failed miserably. And after a while, she found every excuse not to go, and pretty soon she quit. And that's when I tweaked in. My daughter doesn't have a daddy. She's got a father, but she doesn't have a daddy. And that's when I realized, uh-oh, my daughter is craving for me being proud of her, spending time. I bought her a guitar, and I used to play some guitar. And so after her brothers were in bed, the two of us would sit in the living room with our guitars. We would play and sing together. We developed a special relationship singing and playing guitars together. And pretty soon she had an in with Dad. There was a very special connection. And I gave her a love for music. And she's written a lot of songs now. And she had, she was, 17 when she put out her first CD. And she developed a love for music. She got that in our home. And so a lot of things that we have in our culture comes from the home you were raised in. Maybe your name. How many of you are named after one of your parents or grandparents? You have a name that's after your parents or grandparents. Look at that. Or a first name or middle name. Okay, lots of that. There you go. Okay, your name reflects your culture. My oldest son married an American Swedish girl. So my granddaughters are named Annika and Britta. Those are Swedish names. And so they've been given that name by their mother because she wants them to never forget. Your mother is Swedish. Don't you forget. So she gave them Swedish names. They get their identity, their culture, from their mom and their dad. And we are grateful for all those things God has given us in those areas. I know you can't read it, but I can. Responsibilities. Where do you learn responsibilities? At home. From your parents. Chores. There are certain things you are expected to do because you live in this house. How many times have you heard that? Yeah. Okay. You learn responsibility at home. All my kids were paperboy carriers, or our daughter, a paper girl carrier in Medicine Hat. Every morning, 6 o'clock, 6 days a week, 6 o'clock in the morning, I got up with my kids. They had paper routes. And I walked with them, and I helped them deliver papers early in the morning. And by 7 o'clock, all the papers had to be delivered. I did a lot of walking with my kids. But I taught them responsibilities. Every one of them had to have a paper route. They had to learn how to make money. They had to learn how to save money. At the age of 16, my oldest son had saved enough money from being a paper carrier. He went to Mongolia and China for three weeks on a trip. Just for being a paper boy. And he saved his money. And they learned responsibilities from home. Fourth. I have a faith that is identical to my mom and dad's. They passed a faith on to me. And I am so thankful. My parents were Christians. They knew Jesus. They passed it on to me, and I have come to know Jesus. All my four kids have asked Jesus into their heart. Now, I already have a granddaughter that's asked Jesus into her heart. But where does it come from? It always comes from family, my mom and her dad, helping to have faith. And so I'm so thankful that I have that chance. It could be that some of you don't have this. But you know what? You can start. If you ask Jesus into your heart, you someday when you marry, you can do it to your kids. But this is an awesome thing to be able to pass on. And usually we believe what our parents believe. Or at least we start off with that anyway. And so we owe them a lot of respect for that. And lastly is love. Who's the first one that held you the second you were born? The doctor, the stork? Usually it's the mom. And the dad. Okay, it's not the Prime Minister of Canada or some other dude. It's your mom or your dad. Okay? And they're the first ones to love you. And they will love you unconditionally. And it always comes from mom and dad first. And in your home, you learn love languages. I learned a certain love language. I still do it today, and it bugs my wife. I come from a good German family where you don't express emotions. I never heard my dad say, I love you, because that's not a manly thing to do. He never put his arm around me. He never gave me a hug. Nothing. No emotions. Man to man. Have a good day. Go do chores. That's it. Okay? He never said, I love you, but I knew he loved me. How do I know he loved me? Because at Christmas time, he told me this years later when I was older. He went to the bank. He made a big loan so he could, because I came from a poor family. But he took out a big loan and he bought the most Christmas presents any kid could wish. He expressed his love through giving. He didn't know how to say it, but he showed it by always buying me presents. That's his love language, by doing things for me. I've taken that and I've sort of done it to my wife, and it bugs my wife. And quite often my wife will say, do you love me? We've been married 33 years. Hello? Do you love me? I say, well, yeah, of course. Why? Well, once in a while I'd like to hear it. Oh, okay. Love you, babe. Phew, good for another year. But you know how I show love? I'm always cleaning the counter. I do dishes. When she's a massage therapist, when she's working, I may make the meal. My love language is doing things for her. Where did I learn that from? I learned that from my dad. I developed my love language from my home. Now, I have to tweak it and change it a bit to my wife's needs, but it all started at home. And the way you treat people is probably based on how you were treated at home. Learn it from home. So these are all the things that we can be thankful for when we think, oh, why do my parents deserve any respect? Folks, there's a lot of reasons why they deserve respect. And when you look at the reasons, you have a lot of reason to show them respect and to honor them. So when the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, it shouldn't be that hard to do when you really take an objective look at something like this. Okay, now, wow, that didn't work very good. Someone want to come spit on here and clean it up? Yeah, don't start from 20. I know who you'd be aiming at. Back of the head. All right. I wouldn't be that bad, actually. That's all that happened. How do you honor your mom and dad? Let's hear from you. Let's hear from you. Doing what you're told. Could you say that a little bit louder? Awesome, okay. Doing what you're told. How else can you show honor? How? My question is how? Anybody, help us out. How? Get along with your siblings. Whew. All right. That makes mom and dad really proud. I have watched my kids have such fights, I thought, man, oh man, they could easily go to jail if this kept going. Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely. What's that? Doing things without being told. That's awesome. Yes. Don't talk back to them. Oh, man. Yes. Same thing. All right. Awesome. Clean your room. Yes. Give them a hug. Yes. Do something special with them without being told or without them knowing about it. All right. Man, we're getting a lot of good ideas here. Yes. Spend time with them. Don't care. Okay, you guys seem to know how to do this one. That's awesome. That's great. I appreciate all your responses. And the ideas are there, and now we just have to do it. And hopefully we are doing it. One of the areas especially, and you've talked a lot about doing, and that's, of course, that's how you show. But there's also an area that my daughter and I were oil and water. Man, did we clash a lot. She would stand there and just stare me down, challenge me, and just show the, can't believe you're that stupid. And I'd ask her to do something, whatever. And I had a bad attitude at times too. It was more work raising a daughter than raising three sons. I don't know what is it about girls, I'll tell you. they're a job. But I tell you, when you're done, you're awfully proud of them. I'm awfully proud of my daughter. We have a very special. But boy, I tell you, she was a challenge. I'm so glad that when we were done, I hadn't killed her and she hadn't killed me. Okay. The one area that we struggled, and I struggled with her, and she struggled with me because we just clashed, was in the whole area of just attitude. What kind of attitudes can you display that will show honor to your mom and dad? Let's hear from you. What kind of attitudes can you, how can you display your attitude? Hey, yes. Please and thank you. Thank you. That was one of my points, was courtesy. Absolutely. I like that. Please and thank you. Body language. None of this. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. How about honesty? Are you guys honest with your parents? Oh. Nothing pleases a parent more than to know that you can be trusted. Somebody just said there are some things parents don't need to know. How many of you agree? Oh, come on. Hello. Oh, man. okay. Well, okay. Honesty. Man, do we need a little dose of that once in a while? Courtesy? We just had that, courtesy. Okay, gratitude, saying thank you, and just being grateful for what they have done for you. Do you know how much it has cost me as a dad to raise four kids? A lot. Think of all the Pampers I've bought. Think of all the baby food I bought. Think of all the clothes I've bought. When our little daughter was in ballet, think of all the little outfits I bought her. When boys were in sports, hockey, football, baseball, think of all the equipment I bought. When they went to university, think of all the money I have spent sending them to university. All four of them are married. Think of all the money I have spent getting my kids married. Do you know how much money I have spent? I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's at least $250,000. Raising four kids. That's love. And I will gladly do it. And you know what? I'll gladly do it if they'll just say thank you. Thanks for sacrificing so I can play sports, so I can be in music, so I can do this, I can do that. Yes. Absolutely. Your attitude and your gratitude will lead to your altitude. And I'll tell you, your amount of respect that will go up, it depends on your attitude and your gratitude. Awesome. Okay, one more area. And that is this. Oh man. You guys, you got to do this. You got to do it. You have to forgive your mom and dad. Mom and dads are not perfect. Mom and dads are not perfect. And one of the ways to show respect and honor them is to forgive them. Because they're human too. And they've got buttons that can easily be pressed. Okay, who wants to come up and just let me demonstrate what my mom used to do to me? Okay, come on up, buddy. Okay. Okay, Brandon. Okay, don't hit back.
Okay. Maybe I will.
Okay, I was born and raised on a farm. And I had all kinds of responsibilities I had to do. And I like sports. I mean, why work when you can have sports? And so I would always like to run away to the next farm and play, you know, ball stuff with the guys. My mom did this all the time, and I'm surprised I'm not deformed. Every time she caught me when I wasn't doing something, she would reach out and go like this. And she would twist my ear all the way over and lead me to my chores. And my ears got so twisted that I developed a real attitude against my mom. And I felt that I was being physically abused because my mom got angry with me a lot because I really pressed her buttons. I was quite hyper as a kid. And so the way my mom coped was to do this and give it about a 360-degree turn and march me on to what I needed to do. Thanks, Brandon. You're a good man. Forgive me, buddy. Forgive me. Okay. That was a sore spot with me for years. I don't think it was till I was married and I kept talking to my wife about it. My wife said, "You need to forgive your mom." I go, "Whoa, you're right." And you know what? There's a day I deliberately just said to God, "Okay, God, I ask you to forgive me of my bitterness, my attitude towards my mom." And inwardly, I forgave mom. I said, "Mom, I forgive you. I just release you of anything you did to me." And I just came to God. I said, "God, I want you to take away all my negative feelings." And God did. Those negative feelings went away. Now I can laugh about it. But I had to forgive my mom. And if there is something that is you are bitter about your mom or your dad, you can honor them and you can really change things by forgiving them. Now, I'm not going to ask you what it is. I'm not going to ask who you are. But imagine a group this size, and because I was one of them, you may have to forgive. And I hope that this weekend you're going to give it serious thought. You're going to go to one of your mom or your dad and say, "I forgive you." Or maybe you don't want to say nothing at all because you would offend them. Just in your heart, forgive them. So, that is very important. Forgive your mom and your dad. They're just human too. And last one is right over here. You honor your mom and your dad by your achievements. When my kids were out there in the football field, and they did a good job, especially my last two boys were quarterbacks for Hat High for the last 6 years that they were in high school. Every time, or not every time, but quite often, when they made a good throw or did a good job, I would be on the sidelines yelling, "Who's your daddy?" I was so proud of them. You just did daddy proud. Your accomplishments made me feel good as a parent, and it honored me. You can honor your parents by doing good in life. So one day your mom and dad can, your dad can say, "Hey, that's my kid. Look at that. I'm so proud of what they've done. It's by our achievements." I hope they can look at you and say, "Who's your mama? Who's your daddy? Do them proud." I'll tell you, it's going to make a big difference in their life if you finish well. I want to close with this little illustration. And I saw this illustration some years ago, but I've never forgotten it. It was almost like a cartoon. It showed pictures. And the first picture shows an old grandpa and his son, who's a young father, maybe in his 40s, and his little grandson, who's maybe about 7 or 8, sitting at the kitchen table. They're having lunch with the family. The next picture shows the grandpa, who is old and frail, has dropped a bowl, and the bowl has broken. And then there's a caption that says something to the effect that you'll get what you deserve. And the next picture shows the grandpa's son, this young dad who's in his 40s, has taken his dad, who's the grandpa, brought him to his room, given him a wooden bowl, and said, "There, you can't break that. From now on, you eat in your room out of a wooden bowl, and you just stay in your room. You always make a mess in the kitchen." Then the next picture shows this young dad now outside, and he's seen his little kid out there with a piece of wood. And he turns to his little kid and he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm preparing a wooden bowl for when you're old." What you do to your mom and dad, one day your children will do to you. The Bible says, what you sow, you will reap. I have never sown grass and got canola. I have never sown sunflower seeds and got thistles. What I have sown, I have always reaped. That is true in relationship, and I have found true that is true in parenting. And what you are doing now as a teenager to your parents, one day your teenage kids will do to you. God says, what you sow, you reap. That's why the Bible says, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you. God says, I will bless you if you will honor them. And today, my father just turned 96. He's still living. 96 in his own apartment in Manitoba. I call him every night. I talk to him just before I came here. Every night I call him. "How are you, Dad? Love you, man." All those things. I finally got him to say I love you a couple of times. The old German finds it very hard to be emotional. "Love you, man." And, by the way, I was going to say this. There was a point where I thought I was going to be really cool with my dad. I was about 17, 18. My father's name was Peter, but of course I always called him Dad. But I got to that point where I thought, you know what? I'm cool. I'm young. I'm intelligent. I'm an equal with my dad. I'm going to call him Popsicle Pete. His name was Peter. So I started calling him Popsicle Pete. I just thought it was a cool name for Dad and just kind of put us on an equal level. But something inside said, "Art, that's disrespectful. He's not Popsicle Pete, he's Dad. Neighbors call him Peter or Pete. But you honor him by calling him Dad." And I did that for a number of weeks. But suddenly the conviction from God came over me and said, "You are showing disrespect to your dad by the way you're addressing or talking about." And I quit. And from then on, he's always been Dad to me again. And if there's anything in your life that is showing disrespect to your mom or your dad, maybe tonight you come to grips with it. You just say, "God, thank you for pointing that out to me, because that is an area I want to change, because I want my parents to be my best friends." And it is possible. My dad and I are the best friends, next to my wife. My wife's my best friend. And next to that, probably my best friend is my dad. We're like this. But I have reaped what I've sowed. I've sowed respect. I get respect. Sowed love. I get love. It's an awesome life. I pray you'll have that same. Let's bow in prayer together. Heavenly Father, your word is very clear that you are that Father that we all need. You are that Heavenly Father that makes no mistakes. You are that Heavenly Father who loves us with a pure love. You've never done anything wrong to us. You've only loved us. You've given us the ability to make choices. Father, we've made choices that haven't always honored you. And Lord, tonight we just want to say we're sorry. Where we have not honored you as God, we're sorry that we have not honored you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you for showing us the need to honor our moms and dads, because what we sow, we reap. God, they deserve my honor and respect. So help me where I need to change my attitude. God, just come to my heart right now. Just show me those areas I need to change. Give me the power to do it. And Lord, from tonight on, help me to discipline myself to be different in these areas I need to change. And Lord, we just want to thank you for our moms and for our dads. And pray, Lord, that one day we will reap that benefit and we're going to have kids that will treat us with that same respect. So, Father, thank you for this instruction tonight. I thank you for all these young people. I thank you for the moms and the dads behind them, Lord, that are out in our community somewhere. And, Lord, they're doing their best to be a mom and a dad. Now help these young people to do their best to honor them as their mom and dad. In Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.